This is Energy Out Loud, the podcast for energy professionals and people who want to be part of one of the most purpose-driven industries. In this podcast, you'll get insights from industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators who are shaping the future of energy. I'm your host, Morten Dahlum. I'm from Norlys Energy Trading, a data-driven trading and renewable asset management house. So plug in, turn up the volume, and let's get started. Today, it is our first industry deep dive. Join our conversation as we invite our guest, Maria from Air France KLM, to share how they work with SAF, electric and hydrogen planes. It's all about the energy future of aviation. Maria, welcome to Energy Out Loud.
Thank you.
We've really been looking forward to have you here today and welcome you on board and talk about this, the energy future of aviation. But before we get started, a quick introduction about you and who you are.
Of course. Thank you. So my name is Maria Havelberg and I work at Air France KLM in North Europe. I'm responsible for the marketing, communication, PR, but the most important, sustainability as well. So today I'm here as the sustainability lead for Air France KLM in North Europe.
Okay. I guess that must be a very challenging and very interesting, opportunity or work you've got there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we are facing the greatest challenge of humankind, the climate crisis. And yes, of course, the aviation industry is part of it. If we look at the aviation industry today, it accounts for around 3% of the global greenhouse gas emissions. But if we look into the future a little bit, around 2050, we are expected to represent among 22% if nothing is done. That's, of course, is a huge challenge. So we really need to act now to really make a better prognosis of the future. We don't want to end up there being responsible for 22% of the greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah, and that's what we need to learn, what's part of this challenge, as this conversation here today. But is this an easy task? Is this something that is easily overcome?
No, it's not. The aviation industry is probably one of the hardest to decarbonize. That's also why we are risking to grow so dramatically, because other sectors are transforming faster. And also we know that people want to continue flying and the number of passengers globally will grow dramatically over the years. So these are the two reasons why we are risking such a scenario, growing the emissions so much. So that's why we really need to act. And we have, you know, within the aviation industry, most airlines have signed up for a net zero target 2050. That's a huge challenge, and we have plenty of work to do to get there.
Yeah. Why is it one of the hardest industries to actually decarbonize and solve this problem?
I think it's because we are quite dependent on fossil fuels today. If you look at the emission for an airline, around 90% of their emissions relate to the fuel.
Yes.
Obviously that's quite a challenge.
Yeah, obviously. And you're looking, or the industry is looking into different solutions to this challenge. And that's what we are trying to try to make a deep dive in today to understand more about that. But before we do that, Rasmus, my co-host today, welcome on board. A quick introduction about you.
Yeah, my name is Rasmus Vels, and I'm an asset market and operations specialist at Norlys Energy Trading. My daily work consists of investigating new market opportunities of different assets and look into how that they can play into the green transition so that we can utilize as much green energy as possible.
Okay. Interesting work. And I know if you've done some research on the aviation industry before we went into the room here today.
Yeah, I took a general perspective to look at the different challenges. And as you mentioned, Maria, that the aviation industry is one of the heavy consumers of fossil fuels, with the approximately 3% of global energy-related CO2 emissions per year. So the alternative fuels is one of the elements that can really pave the way for a sustainable aviation. And this transformation of the aviation industry is heavily dependent on our sector, the energy sector, because we need to supply green power production and flexible consumption to actually secure the capacities of power for hydrogen production or for SAF production.
So there are certainly some perspectives here. And before we went into the podcast, we had this conversation that the transition of the aviation or the industry is a big thing, but also on the energy side of things, there's a big transition that we need to account for, really, to make this happen. Maria, before we deep dive into it, how long have you been with KLM? And you say you work with both communication and with the ESG agenda?
Yeah. So I've been working within the company for around 5 years, but the company itself have been working with, you know, sustainability for much longer than that. And we have really, you know, serious ambitions and targets to do something about it. And that's also why we have signed up for the Science-Based Target Initiative to really validate our roadmap towards net zero. And we have quite some ambitious targets ahead of us.
Yeah. So what are these ambitions? What are your ambitions? And I guess it's not all tomorrow that you want to change the fleet. There are some things that need to work.
Yeah. So our ambition overall is to cut 30% of the emission per passenger kilometer, as we say, with 30%. And that's quite a challenge. And that goes to 2030. But 2050, of course, then we aim for net zero. So if we look then at what are we doing to get there, we do everything we can, basically. But there are two things, I think, of key importance if you look at especially 2030. Until 2030, we have to use less fuel. We have to use better fuels, if you make it really simple. And if you look at the side where you do, okay, let's see, how can we do less fuel? That's quite hard for an airline. Well, what you can do then is to really invest in your fleet. You can buy new modern aircraft that are more fuel efficient. The most fuel efficient aircrafts today can save around up to 25% of the fuel, actually. So that's quite a saving. And that's what we are really doing on that side, along with plenty of other things. But that's the key thing, I would say.
Yes. So that's your target, or that's how you can see that you'll meet the 2030 targets about reducing 30%.
Yeah, we invest actually until 2028 already. We will have renewed 64% of our fleet. That's a heavy investment. Yes. And that's a really steep curve. But we have to do it. We simply have to do it to really reach our targets.
Yes.
So that's one of the key things.
And
on the other side, you know, looking at the fuel we still need to use. The key thing here is really to have better fuels, as we sometimes call it, to make everybody understand. But that is literally sustainable aviation fuel, SAF.
Yes, yes. So, and what is that? Can you for people who hasn't heard about the SAF, what is that all about?
So that is, the great thing with SAF is there are many great things with it. It's produced from renewable sources. So the SAF currently used is used from biomasses. It's most often it's used cooking oils. The great thing with it is that it has the capacity to reduce the emissions with around 80%. But that's not only the great thing with it. It's the greatest thing with it that you can just drop it in. It's a so-called drop-in fuel. You just drop it and blend it with conventional jet fuel. So you don't have to change anything. You can just fly with it. So nothing needs to change, literally. You just have to, you know, put it into the system and go. And you cut emissions.
Okay. How far are you on the track here to implement that and to use this? Are we started or?
Definitely. We have been using, actually, the first commercial flight we did was 2011 already. And that was quite some time ago. But to be honest, the developments within this sector goes a little slow. If you look at the usage, total usage globally today, only 0.1% approximately is SAF. Of the total fuel used for the aviation industry. But from Air France and KLM perspective, we are by far the biggest user of SAF globally. We used around 16 to 70% of the SAF on a global scale, both last year and the year before. So we are really investing in doing what we can to put it into our systems. And I must say one thing that I think is one of the great things we have been doing is to introduce SAF on all our tickets. When you fly with us today, we have up to 1% SAF included in all our tickets. This is to really, on a massive scale, drive this forward.
Okay. But what are the challenges that you've experienced with this SAF? Is that the availability of the commodity wherever you need it, or is it the volume, or what are we looking at, Maria?
It's all of it. It's a really promising thing to use, but today it's a very scarce and expensive resource. That's the biggest problem with it. There are different numbers mentioned, but it's 3 to 5 times as expensive as conventional jet fuel. And of course, then it's very hard to afford it, but it's also, the demand has not been so great until now. Now it's growing. And I think it takes quite some time to put the facility in place. It costs a lot of money to get the facility in place. Around 5 to 7 years it takes to build the facility. Then, of course, you want to know you have a buyer when yes. you're done.
Yes.
So I think that has been, you know, a little bit the hen and the egg in the industry until now. But recently we have seen, probably you also know about the Refuel EU. That's one of the things that will really help this market grow, I think, because we have now really targets across all of Europe that we do simply have to blend in sustainable aviation fuel as from 2025, starting okay. with 2% and all the way up to 70% 2050. So it has to happen.
Yes. I'm curious about, is there a difference in the geography here where you actually got the fuel available? Is it something you're focusing on only in one part of the world, or is it just a scar, or is it not enough of the commodity everywhere you're flying?
I would say it's a problem everywhere or a challenge everywhere, but there are many projects going around the globe and in many countries, so there's a lot going on. I mean, we have a partner to you in this industry called Neste. They it's a Nordic company. They are already producing quite an amount, one of the biggest in the world producing SAF today. So there are, you know, but they are producing both in Europe but also in Asia, for example.
Okay.
But in US, there's also, you know, production in US.
Okay.
It's a scarce resource, I would say, everywhere.
So if you had this commodity available to you, would it be possible to actually go 100% with SAF if it was available? Is that at all?
It would be feasible. There have been test flights, you know, with 100% SAF in the tanks, but it's not allowed today. Today, you're only allowed to fly with 50% SAF in the tank. But as this is a scarce and resource, there's, you know, it's going to be hard to, you know, scale it that much anyhow, because you need to source it and you need to be able to get hold of it. And also it's costly.
Yes.
It's very costly for anyone to afford it.
Yeah. So it's a matter of where you can say, the economy of scale actually should go up, legislation should follow.
No,
and then there is a potential for actually increasing the amount of SAF in your industry. Has there any perspectives on this from a market side or from the energy side?
Yeah, I think it's some really good points that these different kind of markets actually need to commercialize. There needs to be commodities, platforms, and infrastructures for all these markets to actually scale, both for SAF and for hydrogen and for all the different commodities, because you don't have the trading platforms, the infrastructure to send this around the systems, which kind of brings the cost up, as you mentioned, Maria, that it's finding out which of the things should we do first. Should we produce a lot of SAF, or should we wait until there is a market for it, that we know that there are off-takers of it? And that's one of the things that we see as well, because there is a lot of missing elements in this right now to actually make it large scale. So I think the ideas of actually figuring out how can we actually put these markets together so it's available for the aviation industry is really, really interesting.
Do you see anything in the market, Maria? Do you see anything from where the things lacking, what we as a player in this market could facilitate for things to happen? Anything that you see from a consumption side that you could be helpful for you?
Yeah, I think all of us have a huge challenge ahead, and that is to bring awareness on the topic. I think we need to engage also actually the travelers, because today I think it's hard for a traveler to understand how do I travel more sustainably. And if you come and say, hey, you should buy some fuel, why? What? You know, it's hard for a traveler to understand that the key thing I can contribute with as a traveler, if I want to travel more sustainably, is to actually add some SAF to my booking. That's one of the best things you as a traveler can do. If you really want to drive this, the aviation industry forward, and if you want to decrease the emissions from your own flying, you should add sustainable aviation fuel to the booking simply.
So it's a matter of educating the consumer in this respect.
Yeah, I think that could really help, you know, to drive up the demand and also put more focus on the topic to really make it happen.
Yeah. So that's one part of it, but I guess it's also a matter of the legislation should be in place, so that we need to activate the politicians to actually take the right decisions in this respect.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it is happening now with RefuelEU. That's a quite steep increase, going from 2% 2025 all the way up to 70% 2050. That's a steep increase. And look, if we look now, as I said in the beginning, around 0.1% of the total, you know, fuel today is SAF. That already 2025 having 2% blend in, that's quite a lot. So it really puts some pressure on you guys and others that can provide us with the solution.
Yeah. Are there any technical things with the planes that needs to be done to actually use this fuel?
No, that's the fantastic thing with it. For us, it's just, you know, to fuel and use it. It blends perfectly. As I said before, the only, you know, limitation currently there is that we can only use 50% at the max.
Okay.
The legislation do not allow. But we have tried it on our side, but I also know other airlines have tried to fly on 100%, and it works. So that's something that will have to come eventually, of course.
Yeah. So I guess, what it actually requires would probably be some infrastructure at the airports or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how progressed are they on that topic? Do you know that?
No, I don't know how all airports are doing by heart, but they will also have to, you know, especially in Europe. It is actually the supplier at the airport that will be responsible for blending it in. So they will have to adjust. And I just think we are quite mature, especially when it comes to North Europe, where I'm working. We are quite mature. I think, you know, it's a topic for all airports today. I just expect.
Yes, it must be. Hopefully it is.
Ones I've been talking to, at least, they have, you know, roadmaps like we do all the way to 2050 on how to really transform and be ready for all the new technology coming up.
Yeah, exactly. So Maria, I understand that KLM has done some testing with these electric planes. What was your learning from that experience?
That was exciting, and that it was actually feasible to do. And of course, I mean, we learned that we will have electric aircraft coming into play a role into the future. It also puts demands, of course, on fast charging at the airports. And that's important to get this whole thing going. It will still take a few years before we see, you know, electric aircraft really playing a bigger role into aviation. But already around 2028, they say we will have the first electric aircrafts in the air with the fairly limited capacity, 20 people maybe and 200 kilometers. But over the years and into the next decade, around 2035, I think we will see them on a little bit larger scale and also a little bit longer distances. Some say we can see aircrafts even carrying 50 to 100 people and also having a bit longer range, like 400 to 750 kilometers maybe. So they will play a role eventually, but take a little bit of time.
So you say fast charging at the airport, and then I get curious because that's obviously our market. How does this conversation with the airports, is that conversations you have with them where you put up demands that this is what you require? And do you have any conversations about what this infrastructure, what that actually need?
Not myself do not have it, but a lot of people within organizations have tons of discussions with everybody concerned. It's a whole big ecosystem to make all of this work. And of course, at the airports also have roadmaps on how to really facilitate and make aviation more sustainable. We are so many stakeholders in this together with you. I mean, you are one of the key stakeholders as well to make this going. But for an airline, of course, the turnaround time is key. So it is important to have fast charging infrastructure at the airport. Yeah. And also, if I've understood correctly, I mean, what we need to look into is also standardized, you know, how it should look. So it's, you know, the similar infrastructure everywhere. So it's seamless.
Yeah. Rasmus, any views on this when we see it from a market perspective? What building a new, what can you say, facility like this, what does that require? What does it take, really?
Well, as you say, Maria, it's there are so many different stakeholders in this. You need to have the TSOs, which is the grid responsible bodies of each country. You need to have green production to actually how are these fast chargers at the airport? You need to have flexible consumption, so you have different times where you use power instead of buying, and everything actually needs to play together, because we, both us as a trading company, you as an aviation and the airports, we need to find the best way to utilize each other.
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't be the situation where we call you and say, now the power is cheap, please bring all your planes to a standstill, we're going to power them up. So we need to find the best way of utilizing each other. And I think, and that's also a question, that should that be a part, that to get this through, we need to have one big value chain? Or do you see any complication of all of us working together to find the solution?
Of course, it's challenging when you are many partners in it. But I think the only way is collaboration. The only way forward to sort this is collaboration, and really have, you know, a joint view on the future that it is possible. Believe in it. I'm a strong believer. I think there are so many challenges we have to overcome, but I'm sure if there is a will, there is also a way. And you can really, you know, achieve a lot if you collaborate across borders, across, you know, different instances, etc. We just have to.
Yeah. And I guess if there is one important takeaway from this conversation, that must be it. There must be a strong will and a strong need for it, and a strong urge for it. And then we have the opportunity to collaborate. Maria, we talked about electric planes. Yeah. We talked about SAF.
Okay.
Any other opportunities or any other inventions or new things coming up within the industry that you see?
Yeah, there are so many things. It's literally boiling everywhere. I mean, I read so much all the time about new things coming up and new things happening. Another thing that is around the corner, and maybe not really around the corner, it's a far away corner, but it's hydrogen aircrafts. They will also come into play eventually, and they will have a little bit longer range than the electric aircraft. So that's a great thing with them. At least they will be, you know, within Europe or so. I'm not an expert in hydrogen. It's a bit techy for me, but what I know with it is that it will require quite, you know, a change of a lot of things, because it requires so much more space. If you fuel the aircraft, I think it takes 4 times the space of, you know, ordinary kerosene. And also the demands, you know, you should have around 250 minus degrees to store it. So there are a lot of challenges with getting this into play. And of course, the fuel system and everything around the aircraft needs to change too. So that's why we will see it. You know, I think I've heard that, you know, the first aircrafts that are expected to put into the market are around 2035.
Okay.
But I think it will take a bit more longer than that before we see them on the larger scale. But it will happen, probably. And some say this is actually one of the key things for aviation. Some even say that 50% of the savings will come from hydrogen aircrafts. Who knows?
Okay. And what is the stage of innovation here? Have there been done some test flights, or where are we on that?
I can mention that I know Airbus is working hard on it together with a lot of actors also here in North Europe. We are investing. We are working with the technology in the Netherlands to look into, okay, how could this work out and how could this, you know, be put into practice eventually. So there are tons of projects, I think, going on to also investigate this, because it takes time. It's not just something you invent and, you know, you put it into the air tomorrow. It takes a long time to get there.
Yes, yes, definitely. And as I understand it, and you may correct me here, but I think there'll not be a one-size-fits-all for this. It'll not be so that electric planes will take 100% or SAF or hydrogen. It'll be a mix of technologies that will actually make the aviation industry go zero carbon.
Definitely. I mean, it's plenty of new technology. Also, we will see even more, you know, fuel efficient aircrafts in the future, around 2040 or so. We are already now testing and working on new, you know, types that have different aerodynamics to really, you know, be more fuel efficient when they're flying, etc. So that will come, you know, a lot new technologies into the system. And we will have to adapt everywhere, the airports, and we have to adapt, and everybody will have to adapt to it. But I'm sure it's going to happen, but it's not, all of it will not happen tomorrow. If we look at our roadmap, the key things for now, all the way until 2035 at least, it is, you know, the new generation aircraft that exists today, and also SAF and some operational measures we do, you know, across the whole value chain we have. Those are the key things that will, you know, make aviation more sustainable, at least the coming years. Then, as from 2035 or so, we will start to see new technology really playing an important part as well. But it will take some time before we're there.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned this operational measures that's actually also going to reduce. Can you share a little bit about what you're doing there at Air France KLM?
Yes. So when I say operational measures, it's a lot of things. One of the key things is eco-piloting. Our pilots are trained in, you know, trying to fly so as optimal as possible to save the fuels. For example, just by taxiing in and out at the airport, you can save 700 kilos of fuels by using one engine. That's one of the things, but also the optimization of the route to fly, you know, as smart as possible when you're up in the air can also save quite a lot of fuel. We also try to electrify all the ground operations as much as we can to save fuel. But we also try to actually decrease the weight on board. We do everything we can to really decrease the weight on board because the lighter the aircraft, the less fuel is being burned. So we do, you know, everything we can to really reduce the weight on board.
So this is an opportunity to educate us as consumers. So what do we need to think about here, Maria? when we go flying? I'm off to US actually in a couple of weeks. Yeah. What do I need to think about when I fly?
So what you need to think about is that, you know, first of all, when flying with us, you already fly with up to 1% sustainable aviation fuel, which I think is good. What you should think about is to add extra stuff as much as you can afford. It is costly, but, you know, there's no such thing as a free thing. The more sustainable product is usually a bit more expensive. So that's really the advice that we give you. Add sustainable aviation fuel. That's key. But if you want to do something else, you can also pack light. We had some colleagues that did the fun calculation actually the last year. They were looking into what if all our passengers within KLM would have packed 2 kilos lighter? What effect would that give? And then they came to the conclusion that that would have saved around 2,300, I think, persons, you know, yearly CO2 emissions.
Okay.
You know, you shouldn't neglect it. It's not the biggest contribution, but it's quite significant if you look upon it like that. Wow, the emissions from 2,300 people.
Yes, exactly, exactly. All right, so there is something I need to consider when I go to the US and pack lighter, definitely. If we look a little bit, you talk about after 2035, there are some new technologies coming into play. I actually read yesterday that the Aleph Aeronautics actually got approval from the FAA to do these, what can you say, the flying cars. Mm-hmm. They got that approval for doing that test in the US. Is that something you are looking into? Is that something that you even consider as an opportunity, as a aviation company?
I don't know, actually. I don't really have the answer to that. But I know that, you know, within the aviation industry, we will see air taxis in not too far away from now. That will also be, I mean, it's not maybe, you know, self-driving in a car like you described, but that's also something that will happen, that you know, will taxi jumping with the small aircrafts, electric aircrafts.
Yes. Yes, so there'll definitely be new technologies here.
Yeah.
Where if we need to learn more about this aviation industry and what is happening, where do you learn? Where do you get new knowledge and working in the industry? So for people who are curious about this, where should we actually learn more?
I read quite a lot on LinkedIn, to be honest. You know, you get connected with the right people that do sit on a lot of interesting knowledge. Just connect with them and then you will automatically, the more you read and like and interact with, you know, this type of information, you will get so much information you can't even keep up. So, I mean, you can start to follow me. I have a lot of people in my network that are, you know, experts in this field. So that's a good start. But yes. Then also, I mean, there are so many, if you want to learn more about what we do, we have a page called Destination Sustainability. Air France KLM, just, you know, Google it and you will find plenty of information.
Okay. And we will obviously also link to that in the show notes of the podcast here. Rasmus, any closing remarks? What is your most important takeaway from this conversation?
I think it's that there are so many great initiatives going on. There are a whole industry pushing for change. So it's just a matter of time, as you have said a few times, that we can't do everything on one day, but there are so much innovation and push from the industry to actually make sure that you have SAF available, you have maybe small commercial e-planes, hydrogen within 10 years. So it's really great to hear that as an industry, you're pushing as much as possible to actually make the flying more sustainable.
Okay.
Sure.
Maria, obviously, you'll get the opportunity to have the final remark here before we close the conversation for today.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I can only agree with you, Rasmus. There are so many things going on. I mean, there are so many projects going on across the globe. So I feel hopeful. We know we have a long way to go. There are so many things still to sort out. But if we work hard, I mean, we can achieve it. And I think also if you know, you as a traveler also really think about how you can contribute, I think you can also help us to you know, really accelerate the speed. And that is very much needed. I think we are, you know, we're in this together. We can only achieve it if we work together. And I would just like to remind that the biggest contribution a traveler can do is to invest in sustainable aviation fuel that has the capacity to cut the emission with 80%. But we need to speed up. You know, we need to use more.
Maria, thank you very much for your contribution. I think this is really round off the conversation we had. So thank you for your contribution here.
Yeah, thank you.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of Energy Out Loud. Thank you for tuning in and joining our journey through the world of energy. Remember, your curiosity and engagement are what drive this conversation forward. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Follow us on social media to continue the dialogue and stay energized with the latest updates. Until next time, keep the energy flowing and stay charged for more enlightening discussions here on Energy Out Loud. Power off.